today on Real Life Radio.
Not one of us in this room is exempt from the grace of God. God wants to reach you. God wants to touch you. But when he does this, my friends, I like to put it this way. He rolls up his sleeves and he goes to work in your life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Fear does not have to control your life, not when Christ is at the center of it. This month, we're featuring a powerful and deeply personal book, Living Fearless in Christ, by Hedia Miramadi. Once a devout follower of Islam and a high-level attorney in Washington, Hedia had everything except peace until she encountered the living Jesus. Choosing to follow him cost her everything, her career, her status, and her place in the world she once knew. But what she gained was far greater: freedom, identity, and a fearless faith that cannot be shaken. Her story will challenge you, encourage you, and remind you of the power of the gospel to transform lives. Living Fearless in Christ is more than a testimony. It's a call to bold surrender. Available for the month of February for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where real stories point you to real truth and real life in Christ. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. Now, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter understood the times in which they were. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution, but Peter also understood how big God really is, and he knew in his heart that the Lord would take care of them. Previously, we learned that there is no other way to fellowship with Jesus on a close personal level than to also experience his suffering. Since the birth of the first century church, the gospel of Jesus has been under attack. The world hates the fact that we can find joy in every situation and that we have a peace that defies any understanding. That whatever we're going through, we know that God loves us and has a plan for our lives, and that our suffering is not without purpose. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that God is on the move, and he's stirring things up. He's purifying the church and getting it ready for heaven. It's why he's at work in our lives, preparing and perfecting us for things to come. And now, with his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Friends, listen. Are there Christians who live in America? Yes. Then God will do to the Christians in America what he's doing to his saints everywhere else in the world. You understand? We're not exempt. God is purifying for him the church, what is called the bride of Christ, right? He's getting her ready. And so I just want to share some things with you today. And you may think, how does this fit? What are we talking about here? I want to encourage you to not be discouraged with the things that are going on in your life that Peter has been talking about in these studies these last few weeks when we've been together. That God is completely committed to getting you into heaven. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, who is not only God, he's God come in flesh, he's the Son of God, that he came to the cross not by accident, but by purpose, that he knew according to the Bible that he would come, that he would die, that he would be buried, that he would be resurrected from the dead, and that he would willingly do this because that was God's plan to redeem a broken race, and that is the human race. That instead of God flushing the whole thing down the toilet, he wound up taking Adam and Eve and the descendants after them to redeem them. That for the thousands of years that we can trace back, God has been at work. And it all culminates to the cross of Christ. What Jesus did for you and I. Not one of us in this room is exempt from the grace of God. God wants to reach you. God wants to touch you. But when he does this, my friends, I like to put it this way. He rolls up his sleeves and he goes to work in your life. Why? Because the moment he redeems you, the process of your life being changed, you know, the Bible tells us that Day by day, you and I are being changed into the image, into the glory of Christ. You know, technically, you know, Christ means, or Christian means Christ follower. It's a dirty word, Christian. I don't know if you know that. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if you know what you're talking about. When you say you're a Christian, you got to remember 21 centuries ago, that's how you insulted someone. The Roman Empire said, oh, look, a little Christian. He just loves his little Jesus, and he's a little Christ-like person. He goes around forgiving people who have offended him. He goes around helping the poor and taking, are you here? Are you with me? They mocked it. And they wound up calling us Christians. Today we say the word Christian, or can I get a badge for that? I'm a Christian. What do you want, people to applaud? It's not a good thing in a culture if you announce that you're a Christian and people applaud it. That's how you fall into apathy. We're not of this world. We don't belong here anymore. That's why you and I feel so odd the way this world is going. So having said that, I want to share something with you today. And that is that as believers, I believe that God has given you and I a reprieve. There's a moment that God has given us right now. And what I share with you today is something that I've wanted to share before, but in light of my travels this last week, let me begin by sharing with you this way. I began my week last week away from you, but with a host of a couple thousand believers in Canada that came, they gathered, they came, some of them having driven or flown for many miles in great distance, they came, and they came with Bibles and lamenting the fact that their nation of Canada has departed from their Christian roots. But these believers, they track right along with you. They're in the Word of God. They're on target with you. They love the Bible. They love Jesus. And they made a pilgrimage, so to speak, just to hear myself and a few others teach for a one-day gathering there in Toronto from the Bible. And they lined up and they came and they wouldn't move for the entire day. It was remarkable. Thousands of them. Why? Hungry for the Bible, hungry for truth. They just wanted truth because they're not getting it in their churches. Everything about their churches have been watered down. The pastors wind up apologizing for the Bible. And their hearts are just, they're starving. And I had a great opportunity to be with those wonderful Canadian saints that you'll be in heaven with forever. And their Bibles are marked up like yours. They were praising the Lord just like you do. And we got to see the family of God together in Canada. And it was awesome. But their lamentation is, we can't find churches that teach the Bible. And so it was a tremendous time. Encouraging, yes, but sad at the same time to see this drought in the land. And then I went from Canada to Washington, D.C. Now, this is where I need you to just stay seated today. Don't run out of the building with your hair on fire until you hear me, because I'm sure there's something in this exhortation. That's what today is. It's not a Bible study. It's an exhortation that can catch all of our hair on fire. I'm just going to ask you to listen. I have been to Washington, D.C. on business, I say business, on God's business journeys for the last, I think, 17 years. I don't even know how many times I've been there. But friends, I have to tell you that this last week, something's different. Something's different going on. Now, what I'm going to say, I'm just going to give you an eyewitness report. Please don't let this offend you. Just hear me out. I am not endorsing or condemning any political persuasion or movement. I am a monarchist, if you want to be accurate about it. I'm a monarchist. I believe in a ruling, reigning king, and I hope he comes back any minute now.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Listen, God's in control, not the Democrat Party. God's in control, not the Republicans. God's in control, not the parliament or not the king. God's in control. This is his world. It's lost. Listen, this world's lost and it's condemned because of sin, but he came to redeem it. And he's, by the way, if you read your Bible, he's got a refurbishing project coming. Read the book of Revelation. It's pretty awesome. But being in Washington, D.C., one of the things that I wanted to do, and I'm telling you right now, my mind is planning on how to get you there. But I went for the first time to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Have you been? It's brand new. Now, I don't know about you. When I heard about the Museum of the Bible, my first thought was cheesy. Because, you know, Christians don't do things all that well. I mean, come on. We don't do them all that great. I was blown away. It'd take you all day to go through this, and I'm not sure if you could finish it in a day. No expense has been spared. It's world class. And it goes through just the history of creation, the history of the Bible. It has all of these remarkable things, and it walked around, and there's a section where there's the influence of God in the founding of America. And have we forgotten? Have we been so dumbed down by our public educational system to have forgotten God? To be reminded again of John Winthrop and these founders who saw a passion and a vision from God that we've got to get out of this Europe and get to this land that we've claimed for God. Yes. Listen, I'm serious. I'm trying to figure out how do we get about 8,000 of you to this museum. It's an awesome experience. And when you read about our founders, because you know you're getting a totally different picture in the public square today of our nation. You are not getting the truth. God has been washed out of our nation's history. God has been excoriated out. And it was one epic educational step after another, and it was done with no expense. No expense was spared. Incredible. And to see all of these things and to realize I am standing right here inside the Beltway of Washington, D.C., In a sense, a place that rules the world with policies, and in the heart of our nation's founding, you cannot deny it, is God. The only other nation on earth that can claim such a thing is Israel. And all of the documents, and the down the street, the Magna Carta, down the street at the National Archives, the Mayflower Compact, where our founding fathers, I'm not talking about Benjamin and Tom, I'm talking about Winthrop and Bradford and the Pilgrim founders, they said, we're not stepping off this boat. We are not stepping off this boat until we have a governing body of politic, they called it. And when was the last time you read the Mayflower Compact? It's only two paragraphs. You should read it. If I was the dictator of the California school system, it would be required reading before you can get out of the first grade. And then I would have it read at the end of every grade. You need to read it again. To go back to the roots, to go back to the heritage of what has been excoriated and washed out of our system in public education, which is an absolute embarrassment to the facts. And I watched all of that, and I watched, and I looked, and I listened. And then you say, well, Jack, you knucklehead. Said, of course. You went to the Museum of the Bible. Of course it's going to be bias. Oh, yeah. When's the last time you visited the Lincoln Memorial? When's the last time you walked the Washington Mall? When was the last time you went to the Jefferson Memorial? And read what Jefferson said. Did you know at the top of the Washington Monument that gigantic obelisk in the middle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Do you know what it says on the top? Of course not. You've never been up there. You can't, only God can see it. Well, only God can see it, and the president every time he lands on the South Lawn. Here, Marine One has to fly right over it, make a left-hand turn. You know what it says before the president sets down on the White House lawn? At the top it says, "Glory be to God." Yeah. Did you know that? You'll write me and say, Jefferson was a secularist. Really? All men are created by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson talked about the dangers of when we forget God. You ought to read the latter letters of Benjamin Franklin when he came back to Christ. You know, he lived like a bozo most of his life when he went to Europe. He was a terrible person. But when he got back and in his old age, I think at about 80 years of age, his language changed. And when you read all these great quotes about Ben Franklin about God, it's in his old age. People don't like to quote that stuff. You say, why are you telling us all this? Because we are living on the brink of something epic right now. As sure as you're breathing, God is going to move again in this world. He's moving. But I believe because unlike any other nation on the face of the earth, like Israel, God moved in this nation. And I found myself walking that city and reading one incredible God-glorifying statement or verse from the Bible that caused me to stop and say, oh God, do it again. One more time, God. This nation is in trouble. We are in great trouble. Our nation has forgotten God. And I looked around at what was going on and I just thought about 1 Peter chapter 4 and what we could possibly talk about this morning and the fact that God is announcing to us that judgment must first begin at the house of God. That's a good thing, friend. God is about, I'm no prophet, I'm just stealing from the Bible. God is about to scrub and clean and prepare the church in the United States. She needs cleansing. Persecution must break out. It will come. It is extremely evident to me. Hear me out. Hear me out. Just hear me all the way through. I had a chance to be at the State Department recently. I'm telling you right now that, and it's not my opinion, that for the first time in what might be entire U.S. history, there are more people in power who love the Lord Jesus Christ than at any other time, and it is a remarkable, remarkable time.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3. Thanks for spending time with us today. You know, our prayer is that you put all that you are and all that you have in the hands of God, because that's the place it's always going to be secure. What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here. And joining me today is Hedia Miramadi, author of this month's featured resource called Living Fearless in Christ. Now, Hedia has an amazing story. She became a Muslim in college, but ultimately her search for truth led her to Jesus, but at great personal cost. Her story is honest, courageous, and deeply relevant for the times we're living in. Hedia, welcome to Real Life Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
So in Living Fearless, you talk about the moment Islam began to unravel for you. And we have been hearing about this going on in the Muslim world, but take us back to that moment. What started it all for you?
Well, I was a devout Muslim for a very long time, over 20 years. And in that period of time, I constantly was asking myself, where I was going to go when I died, because Islam does not promise eternal security. So there was this sense of, will my deeds ever, good deeds ever outweigh the bad? Because there's this portrayal of Allah was that there was going to be a day of judgment and your deeds, your good deeds better outweigh your bad, or you would spend an eternity in hellfire. So I was constantly plagued by this fear that the good deeds were never enough.
Right.
It was something that lingered in my mind the entire time that I was a Muslim.
So why do you think that question kept pushing on you?
Well, because in my devotion, I was so regimented. I did everything that I was supposed to do. And it drove me crazy that nobody could say, okay, you've arrived. Hmm. You've done enough. You're dressed as you're supposed to be. You're doing all the things you're supposed to do. And yet nobody could say, this is the finish line.
Right.
And it was exhausting because the rituals were extremely demanding. The lifestyle was very demanding.
Right.
And I got to the point where not only did I have the lingering question about where I went when I died, but that I was exhausted from the rituals. I was exhausted from trying to reach a destination that nobody could tell me I would reach.
Now, you're very clear in the book, and this is one of my favorite parts of your story, but finding Christ wasn't an emotional decision for you, but a very real, surprising, in-your-face thing that happened. What was it specifically that brought you to the Lord?
Well, first of all, I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord.
Well, that'll do it.
The Lord. Yes, so I met the Lord online.
Oh, wow.
I did not walk into a church. I had no Christian friends. It was listening to the simple gospel on the internet from a pastor I had never met or never heard of that was in another state. And so through this listening to his preaching of the simple gospel, I started to pray. And I was a devout worshiper, so I knew how to pray, constantly asking God to reveal himself, because the more I listened to the reality of who Christ was, the more confused I became of who God actually was. Hmm. And it was in those prayer times, one in particular, that the Lord called my name. So I audibly heard the voice of Christ say, Hedia,
wow.
It's me.
Imagine that.
After that supernatural encounter, I was struck because it was an absolute reality. And now I had to kind of work my way backwards and basically say, okay, now that he has revealed himself to me, how do I line up my intellectual understanding of God with the reality of the Bible? And the more and then I bought a Bible. And then once I started reading it, I realized the historicity of the Bible, the authenticity of it was undeniable. It was a continuous story of God's promises to humanity from creation to the last day. And that resonated with me, just the authenticity and the veracity of it. The fact that you could verify so much of what was in the Bible was extremely compelling to me.
Wow, I love that. That's so good. A lot of people don't realize that we serve a God that can be verified historically, right?
Yeah.
You wrote this book not just to tell your story, but to point people to Jesus. If someone listening right now, especially a Muslim, is searching for truth, what would you want them to know about Christ?
That Allah in the Quran has hid the power of the cross on purpose. He only told half the story. He told about the divinity of Christ, the ascension of Christ to heaven, the return of Christ in the last days, but he hid the power of the cross, because if you knew that Jesus died and rose again to defeat death, hell, sin, and the grave, you would know for sure that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Hmm. And that if you just open your heart to know the truth of the cross, that who else could have died on that cross, because historically, someone died on that cross, and that, you know, Allah tells this fake story of his body being, you know, changed into Judas and his soul ascended, that's just a lie. And that if you were to just rationally, spiritually, emotionally open your heart to the truth, pray to God to reveal the one true God to you, that he will respond. He will reveal himself.
Yeah.
People have to understand, a lot of Muslims like myself are devout worshipers. They believe they're worshiping God.
Right.
And so I fully believe that with an open heart, Muslims will encounter the one living God, because
right.
He is alive. He does speak. He does respond. And Muslims all over the world have experienced it. My supernatural experience is nothing compared to some of the things that people have experienced throughout the throughout Iran and China and the Muslim world encountering the living God. And so I just want to invite them to open their heart. They don't have to leave their house. I didn't. They could encounter Jesus exactly where they are, and he will respond.
Hedia, thank you so much for joining us. You are an inspiration, and your story is one to be told.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
The book is called Living Fearless in Christ, and it is the featured resource for this month.
Living Fearless in Christ by Hedia Miramati. Available for the month of February for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.